sometimes change helps us learn the true measure of our own strength, including our ability to adapt in new and exciting ways. Welcome to the Baby Brunch Parenting Series. It's brought to you by BrightRock, the provider of the first ever needs-matched life insurance that changes as your life changes. This is a Baby Brunch podcast. This is a Baby Brunch podcast, and I'm so happy to speak to a dad today. Tomisho Kholwane Masha. No one knows you as Kholwane.
No, I just put that there to test you because I know that you're from Cape Town, and people don't hear Kholwane often in Cape Town.
Oh, they don't?
I don't think so. I don't think there are many Kholwanes running around. Right?
And then you think that that is the case.
I don't, it's a very petty name. It's so petty that...
That you don't think that people in Cape Town will know that. Well, you know that I live in Centurion now.
Oh, then you should know that.
It's different now.
Yeah, it's very different.
So we received this biography on Tomisho and it's so long. I mean, I remember Beyond Borders.
Yeah.
Catch a Fire.
Yeah.
Were these all movies? Yes.
Yeah, yeah. What do you mean were they all movies? You were there. You saw them.
Kidnap and Ransom. What did you do for that?
I played this really cool Cape Town detective, you know, with this swag leather jacket who was helping this international detective catch these kidnappers from Cape Town.
Tell me about your awards, because you can't be an actor if you don't...
I don't really keep track of my awards, honest with you.
Okay.
Okay, so...
Do you have that many?
No. That's probably why I don't keep track of them, because I'm like, I should have a lot more. I have a couple of SAFTAs and a Dugu Dugu, which my parents keep at their house, and they're very proud of. It was my first ever award for acting, and I was once a U... You know, when the U awards were like, back in the day, really big?
I don't know. I'm kidding. It does count.
I wanted to count because it was like I won a U Fashion Award. I was Mr. Fashionable in 2007. Fashionable? Okay. Oh, I was, yeah.
What's your most recent gig? Like, because I haven't seen you in film in a bit. Let's say a bit.
A bit could be a year, right? Well, I haven't done any acting for about 3 years.
Why not?
I've just kind of taken a break from it.
Why?
I've had to regroup. I just wanted, really, I wanted to, the next thing I did was either something major or something that was my own. So I was just like, until that happens, I'm going to believe for it. I'm going to have faith for it. And I'm going to do all the necessary steps for it.
So how are you earning at the moment?
How am I earning? I do a lot of voice work. Thank God for the voice work.
You do.
Why, thank you.
And you do a lot of MC work.
I do quite a bit of MC work still, which is great. I'm very grateful for that. Because, you know, MC work is about people remembering who you are and treating you like, oh, you're that big celebrity. And I'm like,
I always say you get to be the CEO for the evening.
Exactly.
Tomisho Masha.
And everyone has to listen to your lousy jokes for the whole evening.
I never make jokes as an MC.
Is it?
No, I don't. Tomisho, you're still married.
Yeah, I am.
So, I mean...
I'm separated, though.
You're separated. I mentioned to my team that you're coming in for a podcast today and people love your name. You're a superstar because you... I remember meeting you the first time and you were a superstar already. And I remember at the time I was broadcasting for Mnet. And I was already with the channel. And when you walked in, I was like, wow, I must be cool because look who they asked to be on the same channel as me.
Oh, wow, Ilana. I remember that. You were very cool... Like, can I call you a chick?
Yeah,
you were like
this, I'm a chick.
You were a really cool chick, but
thank
really,
you.
Like, famous, but sweet. You know, that's what I always liked about you.
Thanks
you were
for
like,
saying
like
that.
Down to earth, beautiful, famous. You were like huge
thank
at the time.
You.
You remember,
that means
do you
a
remember?
Lot.
Do you remember? Like, you were this, like, big deal. And I was like, wow, I get to work with Ilana. And I remember Fez Ile being part of that.
Yes.
Who else? Some big names, man.
I don't remember the real.
I know, I feel bad now.
I only remember those that were there before us.
Yeah,
like Sis Jerry and
Madeline.
And all of them. I want to talk about you though, and I'm zooming into your life for the past, let's call it 10 years, because I've known you for this long, and I remember when you got married the first time.
Yeah, but bear in mind that the Mnet days were 20 years ago. Hey?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I remember when you got married the second time.
Mm-hmm.
I missed that one, because then I remember that you were pregnant. So then I remember that there was a baby.
Yeah, yeah. Although the pregnancy happened a lot later than the actual wedding.
Than the actual wedding. But what's being a father like?
Oh, fathers, being a father is amazing. I'm so grateful that I get to have this amazing soul that's chosen to be my daughter. Wow. And to come into this earth and learn from me and be inspired from me, and just be raised by someone like me. So I take it very seriously in that mm-hmm. regard, and I really enjoy it. I've always loved kids, and I've always yearned for my own kids, although I was always quite busy and I thought I'll have them later. And I did, and I'm so glad that I waited to have kids. I only had my daughter at 40, so you can imagine at that age I was like, okay, I'm now settled down. This is what I really want. It wasn't like a mistake or, oh my gosh. It was like, I've waited for this my whole life and I want to put everything into it. And I'm really loving it. I'm really enjoying it.
What are the best moments seeing her grow up over the past 3.5 years? Do you look at her and remember certain highlights? Like when I look at my babies, with my youngest, having a prem baby was really tough.
Yeah.
And so when I remember my little miracle baby, when I look at her, I always think of that. I really do. Yeah. I look at her and I appreciate her so much more than I would imagine any other mom would appreciate their baby, you know?
Yeah.
When you see your daughter, what do you think of?
I always think it's like a reboot. We look very much alike. Everyone always says that.
Then she is very gorgeous.
Thank you for saying that. And I always think it's like a new chance for me to live it, to have a second chance at life, to learn things anew, to get to know my environment again through the eyes of this child. So I always try to encourage her to be curious. If she asks me a question, even if she asks me like 5 times, I keep trying to answer it in more interesting ways. I really, my whole thing was, when I got this kid, I was like, I want to be that cool dad. That, like, I don't get impatient if she asks me too many times one thing. I'm trying to figure out how to deal with her tantrums without losing my patience with her. But at the same time, trying to instill discipline. So to have that fine line, you know, because obviously it's important to raise children to be decent human beings. And that's very important to me. And then also get over my own fears. I know that I can't be there for her for everything in terms of trying to protect her from all sorts of pain that's in the world, falling over, being bullied, everything, those things. Whatever I can protect her from, I do. But what I know I cannot protect her from, I guess I leave in God's hands. And I pray that she'll grow from those situations and it'll make her a better person.
You make it sound positive and exciting to be a dad, and that's awesome. But for you, it hasn't been great all the time.
No, it certainly hasn't been great all the time. It's been quite challenging. You know, children are a blessing, the most amazing blessing you could.
Yay.
Like, I love cars, right? So
I love how you compare your dog.
Yeah, no, I'm going somewhere great with this. And I always thought, I think I would love a Porsche more than I would love children until I had children. And now I don't even care for Porsches anymore. So it's like, they're the most amazing thing that I could ever ask for. And yet at the same time, every child has a certain challenge that you will have. My challenge has been my relationship with the mother of my daughter and how we've separated now and we're going through a divorce.
So that's why I said it earlier. I just want to give it some context also, because I said you're still married because you're not living with her and you're not in a relationship with her, but you're still married to her.
Yeah. Okay. We've been separated for about 2.5 years now.
Why has it taken so long?
There's been a lot of very, I'm trying to find the word, nasty is the only word that came to mind. I was trying to find a euphemism. Like, avaricious.
I don't understand that word.
Okay. It hasn't been great, you know, and it's been quite heavy litigation where I've had to go through a lot of court cases, a lot of allegations and accusations of assault, abuse that I had to get past first, and then trying to see my child having to jump through all sorts of legal hoops to get to a point where I could see her more often.
Let's go back quickly and I want to paint the picture, because a lot of the time I sometimes sympathize only with the female in the relationship because I only know how to be a woman.
Of course.
And so you know, seldom do we assume that fathers are also going through a really tough time emotionally, financially. Divorce happens to some people because if a relationship is broken, it needs to break up. So you knew that there were things that weren't okay and you guys were going to have a breakup, but you had a baby.
Yeah.
And how come you can't see your, how come you couldn't see your child?
Well, here's the thing, right? We had a very difficult marriage, like from day one, but we stuck it out. I believe very strongly in the institution of marriage. Mm-hmm. I believe that it's, if you say your I do's and forevers, you should really try to honor them. You said them in front of people and you said them in front of God. And even though it was difficult between the two of us, I always believed that one day we'd get it together. You know, you always think one day if we do more of this, if we do that, we'll get it together.
And it just never happened. Did you think a child would fix it?
At some point, yeah, I definitely thought, oh, finally, the one thing that we both really wanted in this marriage was a child. And here we are and she's pregnant now. And this could be the shot, the one shot that we've always wanted, right? And this child came along. And I tell you, for that first month, it was like amazing. Like up until she was born, it was like we looked forward to her. We were just so together. And the child came. And then I guess things got worse than they were before. And I think aspects of that was, I'll say ownership. You know, there was a sense of the child was not really mine. Mm. I always felt like I was just this guy who was kind of invited to this thing. I was appointed. I was part of this, but I had no say in it. I had no direct influence of anything.
How does that make you feel?
It was very confusing. It was very, very confusing. And it was also incredibly frustrating because, you know, like I said, I waited so long to have this child and all I wanted to do was be this doting dad. But everything that I try to do to be a doting dad, I felt like it was blocked, you know. For example, in my job, in what I do, you get a lot of free time because you either work at night or you
early
schedule
mornings,
early mornings.
Or the whole day.
But then you have all night, you know what I mean? So every moment that I wasn't working, I was trying to spend with my brand new baby girl, you know. But I was like, why am I not getting in, you know? Why am I being kept on the outside? And it was very difficult and very frustrating for me.
What happens when you get divorced? I've never been divorced. Do you say, I don't want to be here anymore, and someone brings papers and you sign it and it's finished? And then
I think there's a thousand ways or probably more to get divorced. In my case, what happened was we had an argument one morning, specifically about my desire to be more of a present father in my own home.
But how can that be wrong? Did you mess up?
We all mess up in certain ways. I can't say that I didn't mess up. I didn't make mistakes. Mm. But if the messing up is, was I, you know, having an affair? No, you know, it wasn't anything like that.
Right.
I just felt like I was being pushed out, by my then wife and my mother-in-law of my own home and my own, marriage, environment, everything, you know, the right to be a father. And I decided, today was the day I was going to stand up for myself, because for months I was just like, okay, whatever. Mm-hmm. All right. I'll just walk away. I'll just leave, whatever. And then I did, you know, and we had an argument. The argument got really bad. I ended up smashing her phone and then I left thinking, okay, I said, I'm sorry. I was going to buy a new one by the end of the day, if not tomorrow. And I came back home and then there were these police there.
Oh dear. Did they know you? Did the police say, hey, it's Tamisha Masha?
They did. It was very strange. They were a little bit embarrassed, and so was I.
Yeah.
But, you know, the police had been called to my home before and they were like, guys, you guys need to like stop this arguing. Mm-hmm. But this time they'd come with a protection order. So they were like, listen, today you got to go. You're kidding me. Yeah. Like you got to pack your stuff and get out.
What?
So I didn't take them seriously because I didn't know what a protection order was. Right.
I know that it says something about boundaries. So you're not allowed to come close.
You know what I mean? Like I thought, okay, haha.
But wait a minute. Protection order, you don't get overnight.
No, you do. You get that day. You can go and get it that day. It's a very important document because we do have a problem with women and child abuse in this country. And I suppose male abuse as well. We don't talk about it as much. But there's a lot of domestic violence in South Africa.
So are you saying that if you get that order, you can keep people away from you if you feel unsafe?
You can.
Okay.
And you can keep them out of your home. So for example, if a woman is not safe in her home, and she has no place to go, it's good to go to the court, because you have to go to court. You don't get it at a police station, and get a protection order. Okay. What that protection order, it's like a cooling off thing. One of you has to go, the person who has the protection order against. They have to leave the home. Okay.
Was it your house?
It was our house.
Okay. So you got a protection order against
me. So I had to leave. So I didn't really take it seriously. You know, I was like, okay, guys.
Because you live there.
Yeah, I was like, I'll read this. Because they were like, just sign here and go. So I signed it. And then I went to a prayer meeting, if you can believe that. How ironic. I went to church, right? And then I came back on some, I'm filled with the Spirit. I'm coming. You know, and I was like, I'm just coming to pack my stuff, you know, and go. Because I'm like, I'm going to show you that I can go. And then they came back and they were like, dude, we were serious. We said you had to go the first time around. And I was like, but I was just packing my stuff.
And because, getting my coffee machine.
Yeah, you know, literally, right? And they were like, no.
Tamisha, this is hectic.
We meant the first time you were supposed to go. So I was like, oh, I'm sorry. While you're here, can you watch me pack and then escort me out at least, you know?
Is it hard for you to talk about this? Like, does the family know about all of this? Does your uncle know?
Yeah, my uncle knows.
So it's not?
It's not like it's a secret. Right. I mean, it was all over the papers anyway.
I missed it completely.
Clearly not in my papers. You don't read any of the major Sunday papers or the Saturday papers or the weekly papers.
I probably read it and went, Tamisha, who?
Who's that guy? Moving on.
When it surfaced in the media.
It surfaced like about a week later.
Did you try and block it? Did you try and fight it?
Were
you tweeting? Were you like, no, this isn't true, this is the real story? Or did you let...
No, they called me. They were like, dude, we heard about this and we're going to put the story in on Sunday. You want to talk about it?
Wow, a Sunday paper.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, wait, I'll come through. Let's talk about it.
I'm glad you didn't say no.
Well, I just felt like, let's just be honest. Let's just tell them what we did, you know? Yeah. And I spoke to my lawyer about it as well, but he shouldn't have advised me, he shouldn't have, as a lawyer, have advised me to say, yes, I did smash a phone, because that is actually a criminal act. Okay. And
why
hence,
is it a criminal act?
Because that's malicious damage to property.
Okay.
So
you might as well have hacked the door of the house or broken a window.
That's still malicious damage to property. You can't even break your own.
So it's as bad.
You can't break your own plate like, if we live together and I get mad and I throw a glass against the wall, that is still malicious damage to joint property.
Or spray painted a car.
That is malicious, or burnt your clothes, or smashed your windows. People do that, right? Remember Waiting to Exhale? And all the ladies were like, yay, when that lady caught a cheating husband and she took all his clothes and put them in his car and then burnt the car.
Don't get any ideas.
Don't do that. I've learned the hard way. That is malicious damage to property. You get a criminal record. I now have a criminal record. Yes, I do.
Please for malicious. Can I get it out of here? You know, the only reason I'm light about this is because, first of all, I know you.
Yeah.
You're not a stranger to me. And then secondly, I think it's because I want to keep it light and I want us to learn from you.
Yes. I think that's important.
You didn't hurt anyone. And so I enjoy stories where ordinary people, really, through what you're saying, are doing extraordinary things. Mm. I didn't know that that is damage.
Neither did I. Otherwise, I would have done something else, you know, because my thing at the time was, we were in this massive altercation, right? And as it happened, she started recording on the phone and pretending like I was beating her up. And I was like, why are you doing this to me? You know, I'm so angry. Let me show you how angry I am. Because I'm not the kind of guy who will beat you up, but I will show you how angry I am by smashing your phone, which is like the dumbest thing you can actually do, right? Rather just like walk away. That's what I've learned. And I think it's important for people to learn that, because I think sometimes what I've learned, and sometimes this happens to us in domestic situations, is things build up. We don't learn how to talk. Mm. We don't learn how to communicate. And then we get to a point where we're like, I'm going to tell you today. And then it ends up blowing up and then you can't actually deal with that. And then it's too late.
Because everyone fights, right?
Yeah. But fight, I think what I've learned and what I can tell anybody who's listening to this.
Carvel, like we fight with our mouths. We talk.
Yes.
Yeah.
Learn to fight with your mouth and fight better. You know, and in other words, have a better argument. You know, there's this saying that says, don't raise your voice, raise your argument. Mm. And I think all couples, whether they're married or not, should learn to do that.
So all of this happens, and because of a phone, you now have a criminal record.
Yes.
You want to see your daughter because you feel that you can be an amazing dad to this little baby that you have to leave behind.
Yeah.
And what happened after that?
What do you mean? Like immediately after that?
Like, did you move out?
Yeah, I moved out. I literally, from that day on, I moved out. I took what I could. And then a couple of
Did you take any
later,
valuable books?
I did. Fortunately, I got all my books. I'm so
did
grateful.
Did you have a safe in the house?
We did, but I forgot the password and I don't even know I was in the safe. So I got to come back a couple of weeks later and get the rest of my stuff, okay. Pretty much. And that was pretty much it, eh?
Did you move to?
I moved straight to my parents. At first, I didn't want to go there because, you know, the shame. I was like, I'm going to live with some friends and I'll see from there. And then my parents were like, no, you're going to come and stay with us.
Divorce is expensive.
It's very expensive.
I'm glad you went to your folks' house.
I am too now. Because my friends would have kicked me out.
And they love you, right?
They do. And you know what was great about that? I think during my marriage, I'd lost a lot of that intimate relationship with my family because I kind of had kept them out. I think sometimes my relationship was very hurtful to them. Mm. And also, you know, my wife didn't really get along with them very well. You know, she didn't really like them. And there were always these rules of how they should come to the house and whatever. So they were like, it's cool, you know. And although they live literally in Pretoria and I lived in Joburg, I would see them maybe 3 times a year.
What?
And I'd gotten to a point where I was this performer, you know. I was this always performing to prove.
Were you always proving that it's going well?
To prove that it's going well and that I'm doing well. Mm. And I thought that's what made them love me, that I'm still doing well. Because, you know, I was doing very well. I was on everything and blah, blah. And I didn't believe that they could possibly accept me without everything, you know.
When you came home and you told them that you've just left your wife and baby behind and you might have a criminal record, what was their response?
Wow, they were shattered. They were heartbroken. And they were heartbroken because they had tried to intervene for a long time. And they had recently tried to intervene as well. They had recently gone through to the house and tried to have a chat with everybody.
As families do.
Yeah, as families do. You know, I speak to my mother-in-law and say, listen, it's not really working, the situation right now. And it's seemingly more stress in the relationship. Maybe give the kids some space. And she was like, hell no, she's not going anywhere. And I guess they felt like they'd failed me in that way. They'd failed in intervening on my behalf. So I had done what I thought I should do as a man and it got me in trouble, you know. And they were also shattered by the fact that everything that we had been going through had come out now in the papers. Mm. And my name was all over the papers in such a nasty way, you know. I mean,
you should tell them I still didn't know.
I'll tell them. Ilana did not know, guys.
Know.
Yeah. I mean, it was on the cover. I went to Woolies one morning. I was like, at the time, I used to club a lot, you know.
Do people still go to Woolies? That's just a joke.
I don't know. Can I mention Woolies? Can I mention brands? So I woke up one morning. I'd gone clubbing the night before, you know. And I woke up and I was like, I'm going to make amends by buying stuff and making breakfast for the folks, you know. And I get there and there's the Saturday paper headline, Masha bashed me with my picture and then her picture and then it's cut in half. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I picked up this paper and I took it to the cashier and like we just had that moment where we looked at each other.
And she's like, but you Masha.
Yeah. She's like, but you Masha. This is you.
What have you done?
Yeah. And then,
did
you know.
Did you hit her?
No, I did not. I did not hit her.
Tamisha, man.
But we had to go to court for me to prove that. So that was like 2 years of my life in
courtrooms.
How much
money have you spent on court?
On legal fees, almost $500,000.
How did you pay for it?
through the jobs that I still kept mm-hmm. after all this negative press. Because, you know, with what we do, negative press affects your ability to work.
Yeah.
And fortunately, there were still some people who believed in me, mm-hmm. Who believed in my talent, my gifting. And I still managed to do some work. And I managed, with all the money that I earned, to pay legal fees.
Do you get to see your daughter now?
I do.
So who decides that? Do they go, and now he's not guilty anymore, and therefore you can see your daughter?
Well, we had to go through the criminal case, because you obviously have to go through that. Otherwise, you end up in jail. Like, you can't get yeah. around that. And then we had to put all the other stuff, like seeing my daughter, on hold. Because that's another case altogether.
Right.
That's what they call a Rule 58 if it's in the Magistrates Court, or Rule 43 if it's in the High Court. I would advise anyone who's going through anything difficult with their children to avoid going to the High Court.
What's the difference?
The costs are okay. major. So what happens is, when you go to the High Court, your attorney cannot represent you. So they have to get an advocate who charges a different fee
right.
every day.
So how do you decide
court.
That I don't want to go to High Court?
It's where your attorney puts in the case, basically where the paperwork is taken.
Right.
So your attorney, you know, along with you, decide. So if your attorney suggests, let's take it to the High Court, say, no, let's go to the Magistrates Court.
But before there's Magistrates Court, is there no other, don't take it to court at all, let's just intervene with a legal advisor person who
you
can...
You could try FAMSA, but I found that... you know, there's also the family advocate. The family advocate's office takes a very long time. They've got a okay. huge caseload. We saw them for the first time last year, after 2 years. We're seeing them for the second time in May this year. So you can imagine. It takes a very long time. You won't see your children for a very long time.
Because they need to sort it out first.
Yeah, they kind of have to put you on the roster. Mm. So if you want to see your children, you won't see them if you go through the family advocate's office for probably over a year or two, three.
Okay.
But if you really want to see them any sooner, you have to go through court. And I do recommend the Magistrates Court.
Why were you fighting so hard?
To see my daughter?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want her to ever feel like her father didn't love her.
Oh, my word.
You know?
Don't make me cry.
Don't cry. I wanted her to grow up knowing that her father loved her so much that he would do anything to see her, even if it meant spending time in jail, which I actually did one time.
Because of all of this?
Yeah, through all of this. There was a separate incident where we hadn't had a court order. You know, because if you've been married and you have a child, you have equal parenting rights in the law. That's what the law says. So basically, you can come see your children whenever and however. But one time I took her to Polokwane for the weekend for a wedding. And the mother went to the court and said that if she doesn't have the child with her, the child has a fatal condition that she could pass away in the night, you know, and some other allegations that I don't want to get into here. And the court bought this and put out a court order. They came to get me in Polokwane, and I spent the day in a prison. They took the child immediately.
They took the baby yeah, from you?
They took the baby from me. So a couple of days later, I had to come back to Joburg to court. And then that day, the magistrate said there was no reason for that order to have been issued in the first place.
Why does she dislike you so much?
Good question. I think that, you know, I'm obviously speculating now, because I can't say why someone feels the
way
they do.
You mean you've never discussed it?
With her?
Mm-hmm.
No, I haven't really had a conversation with her since 2016, you know, since that day, since that fateful day that I explained with the protection order. So... I can only make assumptions, but I think we had a very torrid relationship. And I think over the years, some things were said, some things happened. I can't say that I was an angel, and I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, I'm totally innocent. I think that there were some things that I did as a married man that were totally unacceptable.
Like what?
Well, at some point I cheated on her,
mm-hmm.
And she knew about it. And also, I think some of our fights were just nasty and unnecessary. And I certainly had a big part to play in that. I had definitely at least 50% to play in that, sometimes more. And I probably, as a man, should have and this is probably the last thing I'd advise people if you're married, because I really do believe in marriage, but I should have at some point been brave enough to walk away, and I never did. And instead, I just stuck it out, and it was like a war of attrition, you know? It was like the Russian winter where you burn everything as you go.
Why did you decide to stay? Did she earn? Was she paying your way?
No, not at all. I really loved her to start with. Wow. That's the first reason. I really did. And secondly, I really hoped that it would work out, you know? Mm. After every major upset, after every... Like, it wasn't the first time that we tried to get divorced. Mm. It really wasn't. We had tried before. We had gone all the way. It was just a matter of signing the paperwork. And then somehow, by a miracle, we found our way back to each other. And I was so happy and excited. And I really hoped that I would be able to look back on this 10 years later and say, wow, babe, look how far we've come. You know, 30 years later, and say, you know, the first 5 years weren't a walk in the park, but we've gotten here. And I really wanted to stay with her. Desperately wanted to stay with her.
If she had to call your number right now and say, hey, Tumisha.
I heard you on Jacaranda.
Kholwane.
Yeah.
Masha. Kholo Kholo. What did she call you?
not Kholo Kholo.
Hey, Kholi.
Yeah. Oh, that would be a new one.
That's new, eh?
Yeah,
it's nice.
It's nice. I like it.
If she called you and say, hey, Misho, babe.
Yeah.
I want to make this work. Mm-hmm. Would you go back?
No. I think I got to a point where I feel that the protection order was a miracle. It was God's way of saying, this far and no further for you guys. You guys can't be together. You're not good for each other. And to turn around and say, okay, let's try and make it work. It's like we haven't learned any of the lessons. It's been almost 3 years of us walking this path with very ugly legal situations, you know, court scenes that were straight out of a movie. And only now, Ilana, only this year did I finally get a piece of paper from the court that said I can see my child and how I can see her in a way that is not satisfying, but it is better than it was before.
How can you see her?
So now I can see her on the weekends. Every alternate weekend, I see her from Friday until Sunday. Yeah, she calls me daddy. You're my daddy. Which I love it when she calls me daddy. Ah, I get goosebumps. And I can see her every alternate Wednesday. And
is it supervised?
So far, that's it. No, it's not supervised, fortunately. Okay. So far, that's it. We're working on seeing her for 50% of the school holidays as well.
Okay.
And the rest, I guess, will come when we finalize a divorce.
Is that another court case?
That is probably another court case. It's definitely a court case. Let me put it that way.
But you've run out of cash.
No, I'm still...
I love how you say no. That's so funny. You are something else.
God is good.
Did you keep going back to church and
always
prayer meeting?
If anything, that has been what's kept me together. I would have lost my mind if I didn't. I really, really would have lost my mind. I've got to say that before this, right? Although I've always been like really into church and God things and that sort of thing, but I think I lost my way. You know, a long time in my marriage, I was in. You know, but then there'd be times where I'd be like, okay, I'm not going anymore because, and I kind of blame God. I was like, my marriage is not going well and I'm really trying at this and I don't understand and I'm serving you and you're not coming through for me. And so I'm not going to go to church for a while or I'm going to do this. And that's probably the worst thing anyone can do. If that's what if you're a church going person, that's the worst thing you can do. I would suggest you don't do that. Keep going. Keep stepping out in faith, keep believing, because it will get better. But if you pull away, it only gets worse. And it certainly got worse for me.
What would you say to other fathers in your position? You are on the verge of a divorce. You want to see your children. You feel you are innocent. You have or come from a very difficult and angry relationship, and all you want to do is move on with your life and fall in love again and have children.
Yeah.
And celebrate 2019 like most of us.
Yeah.
Go to the first day of school and plan a holiday.
Yeah. You know, I always say to them, keep doing the next right thing. Keep the fight going for your child. Don't fight the other person, but fight for your child, whatever that takes. There's no amount of money that's too much for you to see your child. I remember the brigadier at the Midrand police station one time, because they came a point where I was like, if I'm going to go see my child, because we had a court order for me to see my child, but it wasn't a really great one. And sometimes I'd have to ask the police to accompany me just so that there was no drama and I could get the child as per the court order. Mm. And eventually he was like, we're not doing this anymore. And he said, why don't you just forget about her? Just like carry on with your life.
Sure.
And one day she'll seek you out, you know? And I was like, no, that's not going to happen. If you guys aren't going to help me, I'm going to find another way. But I'm going to keep doing the next right thing to keep seeing my child. Mm. And I'd like to say to them, a lot of people will probably say to you, forget about your kids, forget about your daughter or your son. They will find you one day. No, don't do that. Keep trying and keep going through the court system until you get it right. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be cheap. But it will work out for you if you keep trying.
Do you pay maintenance?
Yes, I do.
How much?
How much? I don't think I could say that on the radio.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering. Is it enough for school?
It's enough for school. It's okay. Definitely covers school and all that.
All right.
Yeah.
Do you cry?
I cry a lot more now. I cry often. I never used to cry as much because I was like, nah, I'm not going to do that crying thing. And now I cry a lot more, and it's the most amazing thing that I've ever done, because it really helps.
Do you feel that this is a curveball in life, or that you'll get through it?
Definitely. This is just another horizon that I have to reach and get over. It's part of life. Life has many challenges. Other people have much greater challenges with their children than I do. I remember one day going to shop for my daughter's room, you know, at home, because we were building her a little playroom, you know, with my partner, Chantal. And there was this little 5-year-old boy with his grandmother just running around the shop. And the grandmother came around the shop and she was like, you know, I'm sorry if he bumped into you or if he was naughty, but I bring him here every Saturday after he's gone through for his chemo a gift. And I was like, wow, I think I'm going through something. Like, imagine what they're going through. So that put my situation into perspective, to go, we all go through some sort of struggle. You've got to walk your struggle with dignity, with a sense of humor, with faith and with belief, knowing that whatever challenge that you're facing, you'll get past it. I think nowadays too many of us cop out of our challenges. We either commit suicide, especially as men. The worst part is we commit suicide and then kill everyone else. I think that's crazy. Or rather, kill everyone else and then commit suicide. But that's crazy. Like, that should stop. Or we just opt out of life by becoming alcoholics or drug addicts. There was a time in my life when we used to drink a lot. In fact, I used to drink so much that I started taking drugs so that I could drink more, you know. And I just thought to myself, that's a cop out. We're copping out of life. We're giving up on life, as opposed to saying, of course I've got challenges. Of course my challenges are different to yours, but they're my challenges and I can get through this. And if I can get through this, not only will I help myself and the people around me, but I can help other people as well through my challenges.
Are you on drugs now?
No.
He's smiling.
No.
Sure. I love how you gently just slipped in there that you have a partner.
Yeah, I thought that's important.
I'm in love.
I'm so in love. I'm so blessed. I'm so fortunate.
Does she know about all of this? Or is she going to learn about, like me?
She's going to find out on the radio. Mm-hmm. I hope she stays. No, she's been there the whole, you know, we met.
Was she the love affair?
No. Okay. We met
because I'm gonna call her right now. I'll be like, hey, girl.
What were you doing, girl? No, we were like, we knew each other on social media, and that's about it, right? And
you actually don't have to talk about it.
I'd like to.
Oh, okay.
I'd like to, if that's okay.
Can we just keep rolling there?
I think it's important, you know, if you can find love again, to really appreciate it and to go there, you know, and never give up on love. That's the big thing. People mess up. We all mess up. I'm a problem. My exes were a problem, but that doesn't mean that love is a problem, you know, and we still have our challenges with Chantal. We have our rows, but I think we're learning how to really fight for each other and not with each other.
Recently, people started posting about their 10-year challenges and where they were 10 years ago.
2009, where was I?
You just hosted the Miss World pageant.
Oh, yeah.
The one that was broadcasted worldwide.
Oh, yeah. I was definitely 30 kilograms lighter then. So that's my 10-year challenge.
What's your favorite food?
All of it. Okay, but seriously, there's this dish, right, that I used to look down on it growing up.
What is it called?
It's putu and mas.
What is mas? Like
Inko mas.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Okay, so you get putu, which is like a maize meal dish.
My mouth just started watering.
Okay, and I wasn't always into it.
Seeing you talk about food, right? Is making me celebrate.
Right? As a child, I was like, don't give me that putu and mas. Where's the meat? Mm. And now, Ilana,
is it a snack?
If you put that, it's my drug of choice.
Like, if you leave here now, are you going to have putu and mas?
No, I'm not, because I'm on a whole thing at the moment that I have to get away from the putu and mas for a while.
Just come run with me. You can have your putu and mas.
I have to first get off the putu and mas so that I can actually keep up with you. Otherwise, you'd be like, listen, you're wasting my time. We're here to run, not crawl.
Kilometer and west. Yeah.
Hey, Lana, get the car.
Are you going to be okay?
I'm going to be just fine.
Stay out of the papers.
No, I'd like to stay in the papers, actually.
Why?
For positive things. I'd like to be able to talk to more men. I'd like to encourage more men. I'd like to talk to men who are going through difficult things. I'd like to talk to men who've done terrible things. I'd like to encourage people to tell them about second chances. Mm-hmm. And those who are planning to do terrible things, maybe be a lesson to them. You know, in many ways, I think that's it. What I've learned as well is our mistakes can also be lessons for other people. And we shouldn't be afraid to tell people about our mistakes. You know, we shouldn't be afraid to say, you know what? I did some things that I'm not proud of and I don't want you to go through them. Here's why I got there. Don't do this because you will get there. There are laws of the universe that are in place, like gravity. If you jump off this building, you will fall. Mm. If you do certain things, you will get to a place where I got to. And I have learned that I don't want anyone else to have to go through that. You know, I don't want anyone else to get to a point where they are in the middle of nowhere waiting for this guy to come through so that they can buy drugs in the middle of the night because they're not coping with life. You know, I don't want them to have to go through what I went through with how I have to see my daughter now. Mm. You know, I don't want them to go through a court case because maybe every time they have an altercation or a fight with their partner, it becomes a domestic violence issue. Mm. Because that, number one, it's not cool. But number two, you get into serious trouble for that. And we really should learn to be better and do better. And we have those principles that our fathers taught us, that our mothers taught us, that we've taken for granted in this modern age of social media and being glamorous.
Do you stay in your old room at home?
I got a new room now and it's all fixed up. Chantal fixed it up for me.
at your folks' house?
At my folks' house, yeah. I do. It's like I've got my own suite, you know? So I just like, it's actually quite comfortable. It's going to be very hard for me to get out, but I have to. I can't be that.
There'll be less putu and mas if you move out.
There'll be less for me, but more for them.
Yo, what a chat. Tamisho Holwane Masha. Tamisho Masha. How old are you turning this year? 44.
44, hey? Mm. Yeah.
I remember you like that.
I'm a 44-year-old guy living with his mom and dad.
But at least you're much better than before.
I'm much better than before, I can tell you now. You know, I'm much better than when I lived in my own little fancy house somewhere else, you know. And I'll get there again, that I'm sure of.
Baby steps. Thank you.
Thank you for this moment and for this opportunity to to talk to your listeners, to touch your listeners, and to hopefully encourage, even if it's just one person out there, you know, with my story.
Thanks for your trust. I appreciate it. For more and other stories about parents, moms, moms-to-be, click on babybrunch.co.za. Can you say that? Can you say, hi, I'm Tamisha, like that whole thing that they make celebrities do?
Hi, I'm Tamisha Masha, and you're listening to babybrunch.co.za.
Wow, now we're on the map.
Or how about this? Hi, I'm Tumisho Kolwane Masha, and you're listening to babybrunch.co.za.
The Baby Brunch podcast is brought to you by BrightRock, the first ever needs-matched life insurance that changes as your life changes. If there's something that I've learned through Baby Brunch, is that becoming a parent changes you. It changes everything, from your sleep schedule and your finances to your future plans. BrightRock's cover can take you from carefree singleton to working parent to empty nester, so you get precisely the cover you need and only pay for the cover you get. So speak to your financial advisor or visit www.brightrock.co.za. BrightRock Life is an authorized financial services provider and registered insurer. Terms and conditions apply.